Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The COVID school lockdowns revealed to parents just what their children were being exposed to in the public schools, and in most cases, they were appalled. This has led to a mass exodus from the government-controlled public school system. The public school's response has largely been to ignore the concerns of parents and continue with their propaganda, from promoting abortion to climate change to critical race theory to the LGBTQ agenda and everything in between. They also are creating activists for these liberal causes, as we saw in Virginia just a few days ago. What is a parent to do? My guest today is Ray Moore. He's president of Frontline Ministries and the Exodus Mandate Project. Thanks, Ray, for being with us.
Diane, and thank you for your wonderful years of service there in Pennsylvania. We've, of course, been in touch off and on over the years, but it's so great to have this opportunity to talk to the people of Pennsylvania about.
Well, I'm thankful that. Yeah, I'm thankful that you're available, because this is such an important issue, and parents here in Pennsylvania are appalled. I mean, just recently, the Pennsylvania Department of Education is encouraging on their website for teachers to call for to hold a gender-neutral day, and this is for grades 3 through 12. So anyway, let's first start, though, with who are you guys? What do you guys do?
Well, we started, I'm the founder and director of the Exodus Mandate Project, and that website is exodusmandate.org. And I started that officially in 1997. It was pretty lonely because nobody was paying attention or listening. I was getting a lot of rejection in those days, even from Christians and pastors. But that has really changed in the last 3 years. And we're living in a kairos moment. That's a Greek word for opportune time. Or sometimes it's interpreted divine time, a divine moment. English has only one word for time, and that word is, you know, the Greek word chronology. But the Greek has kairos, which means a moment in time, a special time, and then chronology, a chronos, is the continuum of time. So we're in a special time, and I call it a once-in-a-100-year moment for the growth of K-12 Christian campus schools and homeschooling. I just never thought I would see this day. So we're trying to make the most of it, and I'm trying to thank you for having us, because we can publicize it to your audience in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is a very rich state with traditional values, Christian values, a lot of good churches, even good Christian schools already in existence. So here we go. We can talk about what's happening. It's happening all over the country.
Right. Yeah. Pennsylvania, minus a few counties within the state. There are a few counties of the 67 that are not necessarily conservative. But it's interesting, though, even when you talk about Philadelphia County and Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh is, there are still conservatives in those liberal counties. And they are, you know, they're beating their heads against the wall, just putting up with what's being thrown at them as citizens of those counties. And parents, you know, parents within those counties are in all the other 65 counties in Pennsylvania and all the other counties throughout the nation. They are just appalled by what they have seen happen. And there's no doubt that Glenn Youngkin in Virginia won that governor's race because of the education issue and the previous governor being very out front in saying, you know, parents don't matter. The kids are the government's responsibility to raise. And as
politically, it was an unsmart thing to
say. Oh, yes. That's an understatement. He probably regrets that statement for sure, because parents saw that through the whole COVID shutdown. Is very, very evident. But even prior to that, you know, parents had contacted me even prior to that when they found inappropriate books on their child's reading list. And you know, where they went to school board meetings reading from those books, and they themselves, the parents, were shut down because the school board members did not want to hear that obscenity, yet those books were on the reading list. So as Christians, what is the primary responsibility of Christians when it comes to their children? send them off to public school or what?
Yeah, one of the things that we've taught for 25 years since 1997, and I think one of the prime reasons that the Lord has allowed us to stay in this fight, we teach and believe the scriptures are very clear that the education of children belong to the family and with assistance from the church, or belong to the family and church, not government. So we don't think the state of Pennsylvania has any jurisdiction to be running K-12 public schools. Now you say, what, are you crazy? Yes, they have usurped that role. Really, for the last 170 years, public education, as we now know it, did not exist in the United States. That is state-sponsored, tax-subsidized, state-controlled public education did not exist in the United States anywhere till around 1840 in Boston. Prior to that, all the education services at the K-12 level offered by families, homeschooling, private academies, and churches. And it was a big parochial school system, and there was no state-controlled public education for 200 years of American history.
Wow.
We birthed the American nation on the back of private, Christian, and home education. That's not well known today, and most people don't know it at all. Of course, the public school people do a good job of keeping that information suppressed.
Oh, yeah. Part of their revised history.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. So what we want to do is return American education to the original American model, which was private, free market, Christian education, or in many ways it would be close to the biblical model as well, and just abolish state education altogether.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And, you know, we've really, 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 really seen the public education system go downhill since the unconstitutional formation of the U.S. Department of Education. It's with the government's putting their hands into areas they have no constitutional authority to do so. You know, put that on top of, you know, have that overarching organization, the U.S. Department of Education. Then you have the state departments of education like ours here in PA that, you know, they have their gender identity page encouraging teachers not to assume when it comes to pronouns. And they also say it's a false idea that there's only two sexes. So it's only two genders. That's a false idea, according to the Pennsylvania Department of Education. Mind-boggling what we see happening within the public education system and how it's escalated since the lockdowns, because it seems...
Yeah, it's a bad thing that's happening, but there's a silver lining, otherwise dark cloud, because it's waking people up. You know, Lenin said one thing I agree with. He was a bad man, one of the worst men that ever lived. But he said sometimes things have to get worse before they can get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't believe that the state should be involved in K-12 education. It wasn't so in the beginning of our country for 220 years, and we think we can go back to that model. But as long as Christians leave their children in these schools and they carry on this futile, foolish idea of trying to fix those schools, we're going to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Luther made this statement, I think, around 1530 when he was talking about the situation then, because you may remember the Reformation started a whole series of Christian schools and higher education that was entirely Christian. And that was the reason that the Reformation has lasted for 500 years. But he said this about higher ed, actually, but it would apply to K-12 as well. He said, "I'm afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount." And this is the most important phrase. "Every institution in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt." So it's inevitable that these schools, these public schools, will be totally corrupt. And they can only get worse because Scripture is not there, the gospel is not there, Christ is not at the foundation, and it can only go downhill.
We've
had 170 years of this since the Horace Mann in the 1840s, and it's just suddenly all at once, really, really been the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, all the debris, waste, and garbage is washing up on our shores at one time, and people are just horrified.
Yeah.
So then they jump in there and they say, well, let's see, we can get uniforms in the school. So they come up with some little cosmetic painting over rust or putting Band-Aids on cancer. It cannot be fixed.
Exactly.
So it's got to be abandoned. And it's up to the churches and your audience to start schools. If you're in a church, my friend, listening to this, and you don't have a school, a Christian school in your church, get a delegation and go to your pastor and say, why don't we have a school in our church? And that is happening. It's improving significantly now. But the pastors have been really derelict as a group until recent years.
Well, I think a lot of them are afraid of, well, there may be a teacher in the congregation, or there is a teacher in the congregation, or a superintendent in the congregation, or a principal in the congregation, and we don't want that individual to leave with their tithe.
Well, there have been some studies on that, and surprisingly, a lot of them don't tithe.
Oh,
but those pastors have to tell those teachers that we're not going to hold our children hostage to your pension and to your salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a compromise on the part of the pastor to do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just fearful men anyway. They're not going to stand up. And this is what the Great Commission teaches. Basically, it's the job of the church is to evangelize, baptize, do missionary work, and to train the children.
Yeah.
Why should we be evangelizing all over the world and turning our own children over to pagans to educate?
Right? Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, most people don't know, and I know this is not taught in the public school, that when Thomas Jefferson, you know, the deist, quote-unquote deist, when he was president, he was the superintendent, also included the job of being superintendent of the D.C. schools. I don't know just how that worked, but the Bible was a textbook in those schools when Jefferson was the president. And beyond that, too, it wasn't just Jefferson, but he made sure that the Bible was a textbook. And as we've seen in the 60s, we had Bible reading taken out, we had prayer taken out of schools, and we've seen the downward spiral intensify or increase since those were taken out. So how would, you said churches are starting to open schools or start Christian schools.
Yeah, that's happening in hundreds of cases now.
Yeah, how would a church go about doing that? Would they use their own church building or buy a building or build a building? Or
yeah, they sit there empty 5 days a week.
Well, that's true.
What do they build them for? You know, they have prayer meeting maybe on Wednesday night and Sunday school, and they just sit empty 5 days a week. And it's just crazy. I mean, we don't have to build a building anywhere in the country. There's 100,000 evangelical churches that can start schools. And they have the people. They have budget. In many cases, some of these Christian public school teachers are leaving public school system and coming over and helping staff. The new Christian school system is being birthed now. But the only thing lacking is leadership. I mean, there's money there, too. And the pastors won't lead. I mean, what are they there for? They're supposed to lead the flock.
Yeah, exactly.
They're supposed to protect the flock. They're supposed to protect the children in their church.
And Jesus was very specific about protecting those children and what would happen to someone who did not, who caused harm to those children, for sure. You know, and even if there's a local Christian school in your area, churches, even at that point, if they don't want to take the step and start a Christian school of their own, they could at least, at a minimum, support that local Christian school that's already in existence. Because I know the one here locally is busting at the seams because of the parents who are pulling their kids out of public school. And
that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been around for over 40 years, and in recent years, can't remember just how long ago, but they bought an old school building, and they built onto that to make room for the high school, make more room for the high school kids, because it was an elementary school they purchased. But even at this point, they're bursting at the seams.
Right, and that's all been in the last 2 to 3 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
COVID.
Mm-hmm.
COVID was there was a silver lining in a dark cloud, and what happened was that we think a lot of people were thinking already about homeschooling and Christian schooling, but the inertia and laziness and different things have held them back. But suddenly they were forced to go
exposed
home.
Yeah.
My wife and I were sitting in the kitchen one breakfast about 6 months later, and we were saying, look, can you believe this has happened? We worked our hearts out for 25 years to try to grow this homeschool movement in particular, and it had grown to about 2.5 million. And then one day the Lord reached up and flipped a switch and sent 55 million children home.
Wow.
Now, they didn't all stay home.
Yeah.
But it looks like 4 to 6 million are now being homeschooled permanently. And then K-12 Campus Christian School, which is what you're talking mm-hmm. about there in your hometown, they're growing at a rate of 10, 20, 30, and sometimes 40% a year. My grandchildren attend a big Christian school here in Columbia, South Carolina, and it's the second largest private school in the state at about 950 3 years ago, and it's grown now to 1150. That's a gain of 300 just in a few years.
Oh, wow.
And other schools like it in the city are you know, busting out of the seams as well, and this is happening all over the country. So we're seeing millions of new people coming into the K-12 Campus Christian School movement or into homeschooling. But this door is open, wide open. This window is open now, and it may not stay open forever.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said this in John 9:4, I believe, I must do the works of him who sent me, the works of my Father, while it is today, for the night comes when no man can work. And the left has not yet caught up with this reality. They're pretending it's not happening, or they're dealing with their own problems. And so we're exploding in our movement, and there will become a time when they will try to suppress it and shut it down. I think they won't be able to, but we can grow right now relatively opposition-free,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and we've got to really get our pastors going. I think delegations need to go sit down with their pastor and tell them, come on, buddy, you get doing the job that you were called to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just are fearful men, and most aren't. But we've got to really, you know, back up the ones who want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And so you're getting more. You mentioned earlier that back 25 years or so when you first started Exodus Mandate Project, there was basically your movement was ignored by pastors and such, or you were ridiculed because those individuals, Christians, as pastors, thought that the public school system could be rescued, could be turned around.
They thought it could be reformed, mm-hmm. and they said, send the little children in there to be salt and light.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just crazy, crazy
into the lion's
idea.
Den.
I mean, like, send 5-year and 6-year-old and 7-year-old kids to Africa to be missionaries, to be
mm-hmm.
salt and light.
Yeah.
Come on.
And it's even worse.
A lot of people do use that excuse. I think I find maybe 10% are sincere when they say my children are salt and light in public schools. But I think most it is a excuse for sloth and laziness.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the ministry 45 years formally, and you don't ever see a Christian say, you know, today I'm going to go out and flagrantly disobey God's word. Nobody says that.
Right.
They look for a Bible verse excuse, and they twist the scriptures, and you look for a text of scripture to excuse their slothfulness or their disobedience. And that's the favorite one right now for many Christians. That's Matthew 5:13-14, which in no way does Jesus say, put your little kids in harm's way to be salt and light. He just gives you a general principle of behavior for Christians in all circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to give off the love of Christ and be a witness wherever we are. But don't put children in harm's way to be salt and light in pagan school.
Yeah, because they definitely will face ridicule. They'll face lower grades if they stand up for their Christian beliefs and speak their Christian beliefs out loud. There's no doubt that that is happening. There's many, many stories out there where Christian students have tried to be salt and light, and they were basically browbeaten into submission. And
it's not that they may not in some circumstances be, but education and schooling is supposed to be a time of discipling. So if you're in a pagan school, they're teaching LGBTQ mm-hmm. and transgender and critical race theory and evolution. Who's discipling your children?
Yeah.
You're being discipled by the pagans.
And that's
why we see 80% of evangelical children who are public school in their entire career abandon the church and the Christian faith. You're discipling your children in the wrong place
mm-hmm.
if you put them in these public schools.
That's an excellent point, because more and more millennials and Gen Zs, and I'm not sure whatever their names are, you know, whatever generations are gone, but more and more are definitely turning from the church, period, calling themselves nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because they have no religious or no interest in religion whatsoever.
One of the principal reasons it's happening that we're not discipling our children in the churches. I mean, Sunday often is just a time of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
youth groups are playing games. They sometimes don't even have a serious Bible study.
Yeah.
Well, they've got 30 hours a week under pagan instruction.
Yes,
so who's
going to
win that argument?
Absolutely, because the church has, in too many cases, has become irrelevant because they are not addressing the issues that these kids and that the adults in those churches are facing every single day, such as
and it's a leadership problem, Diane. The pastors are not leading their flock.
No, absolutely.
And we think it's about one-third. We think about one-third are doing the right thing in most cases and really reaching out in this arena. One-third are teachable and could grow and do the right thing. But I've kind of come to a conclusion that maybe 25% or a third of these pastors are not called.
Mm.
And maybe they should just consider getting another job and getting out of the church if they're not going to take care of their children.
Yep.
If they were called, they would behave differently.
Yeah, they would see the need to protect the kids and pull them out of the pagan schools, as you're saying. So can folks contact you guys as far as...
Right.
Okay. Step by step.
Now, let me give you, my webpage is exodusmandate.org.
Okay.
But 3 years ago, I was involved in another venture, which has really kind of gone beyond Exodus Mandate, and I'm the chairman of the board of that. It's based in San Diego, but it's reaching out all over the country, and that's publicschoolexit.com. Publicschoolexit.com, and I'm the chairman of the board. And Dran Reese is the CEO. She's in San Diego.
Yeah, I know her.
Alex Newman is the executive director. And it is just exploding.
Wow.
Because they've got a big staff, and they've concentrated on putting up information for newbies. A lot of people say, I want to do this, but I don't know where to start, what to do.
Yeah.
So there's information about curricula, about models of education, reasons. It's a very full web page, but you can't be a dabbler, you know, to study. You go to that web page and be prepared to spend some time and figure out what it is that you want to do with your family and your church. And it can help churches as well. We think several hundred churches, but I can't give a hard count on this because it's also spontaneous, may be in the process of trying to start up schools, Christian schools right now.
So, wow.
That website is publicschoolexit.com, and it's got more information about how to get started than my website, even though mine is good.
Okay. So, and your website's exodusmandate.org, but there's a more step-by-step instructions as to how to start homeschooling or starting a Christian school would be
publicschoolexit.com.
Okay, great. Yeah, I know when I started homeschooling our two younger kids, and they were, you know, high school at that point, I was like, where do I start? And this was back in the early 2000s.
And, so you don't, you know, you created to help what we call newbies or people who are just getting started.
Yeah,
and there's
fantastic.
So much information there.
Wow. And I do encourage
you. And we do have a consultation service. You have to call that office number.
Okay.
But we're reaching out into Illinois, the Illinois Family Institute, which is a large
David,
group there.
Yeah.
Has affiliated with us, and they're trying to start 100 schools in the next couple of years. And then also we're working with a group in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Family Institute, New Jersey, Garden State Family Council, Oklahoma, and recently a group in Georgia and Atlanta have come online to be affiliated. So we're actually creating chapters. And some of these chapters have been affiliated with the AFA or even focused on the family, but they've been heavily into the reform movement, the idea that we're going to fix public education. And they're just dropping like flies and say, no, we're not going to try that anymore.
Yeah, the schools are beyond hope. Yeah, I've reached that conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think, they can be reformed and such, and Christians should run for school board, which, you know, I still encourage you to do that if you want, but... don't expect to accomplish a lot because it'll be like 8-1, you know, eight
you
liberals.
Can't reform it.
Right.
It's a socialistic model and it cannot be fixed.
Yeah. I totally.
Now, just again, have them contact my office at exodusmandate.org and we have literature and stuff that we could send out. And then if they want to know how to get started and how to launch into this, a church or a family group or homeschool group, something like that, you look at publicschoolexit.com, and that will really help them get started. But now is not the time to dabble around.
For sure.
We're in an urgent situation, so we urge them to get going.
Yeah.
And then if they want to contact me personally, go to exodusmandate@gmail.com or the website exodusmandate.org.
Okay, fantastic. I really appreciate you. You guys have been on top of this and urging this for a long time. And as you're saying, now's the window to act. And we've got to act to save the kids. And when it's in saving the kids, we save the nation. Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, Ray, for
being. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
It's good to be in touch with you again after a few years.
Yeah, after a few years. Hey, you take care and watch out
bye-bye.
For that hurricane.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay.
Bye bye.
Take care. Bye bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.